quality of the wisdom of the hidden in general. Again, the writings of Baruch Sulam, volume 1, page 189, the quality of the wisdom of the hidden in general. There are two parts in any understanding, recognition of reason. First is in the material elements, meaning the nature of the objects in the reality before us. The second is in the figurative elements, devoid of those objects, meaning forms of mind and reason itself. We call the first material learning, which is empirical and is called physics. And we shall call the second one figurative learning, which is theoretical and is called logic. Title Material Learning is also divided into two, which are four. Sometimes we can minimize it into speaking of what is above nature. This is called the wisdom of what is beyond nature, meaning according to specific subjects of the superior mind. There are four parts here. One, material learning from the part called nature's law, which is empirical. Two, material learning from the part called nature's law, which is the wisdom of what is beyond nature. Three, material learning from the part called atik, which is empirical and practical. Four, material learning from the part called atik, which is only the wisdom of what is beyond nature.
That's the way he divides it, we don't know, but he understands that it's that way. Let's continue.
Title, Figurative Learning. Figurative learning is one whose predicate is the upper one. In material learning, the predicates are the degrees called worlds and patsufim. And yet it is empirical and practical. Clearly, the superior principle in the wisdom of the hidden does not become any clearer now because it requires complete study in and of itself. And I have already shown that it is the revelation of His godliness to His creatures, as explained in the essay, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, as I have elaborated there. Once you understand this, you will understand my explanation of the quality of the wisdom in general.
You can't understand anything, even in the simple things that seem to us in so many wisdoms of this world, if we don't attain the truth, the source, and if we don't attain the rules of the source, that it comes to us and cascades and comes to our senses. That's why if we don't attain it above, down, and we don't know it, and we don't know how it cascades to us from above down.
Title, The Superior Principle is defined in one, unique, and unified. One, it is obvious that the Upper One is one. He comprises the whole of reality and all the times, past, present, and future. For one cannot give that which one does not have. Had the whole of reality and the existence of reality not been included in him, they would not have emerged from him, as is evident to any scrutinizer, and without minding that we find corruptions in the manners of the existence of reality. Indeed, know that this is the study that the sages of the hidden call one. The first to study it was Abraham the patriarch. This is explained in the book of creation and is therefore attributed to Abraham the patriarch. Meaning, this means that there aren't two authorities here, good and bad, but only good. Unique. This indicates that he is still united and does not change because we feel the bad, not even in the relation between him and his creations. For example, when a sick person comes to a physician to pull out a thorn, the physician who pulls it out hurts the patient. This is not considered that he has now changed and is doing harm. Rather, the physician and the patient, who loved one another before, are still loving even during the painful cutting. This is called unique. Unified. This indicates that his attitude toward creation as a creator is only to disclose his uniqueness. For all the pleasantness, all the wisdom, and all the dvekut, adhesion, are expressed in this unification.
We should read this whole part again.
Again, this whole section. This superior principle is defined in one, unique, and unified. One, it is obvious that the Upper One is one. He comprises the whole of reality and all the times, past, present, and future. For one cannot give that which one does not have. Had the whole of reality and the existence of reality not been included in him, they would not have emerged from him, as is evident to any scrutinizer, and without minding that we find corruptions in the manners of the existence of reality. Indeed, know that this is the study that the sages of the hidden call one. The first to study it was Abraham the patriarch. This is explained in the book of creation and is therefore attributed to Abraham the patriarch. This means that there aren't two authorities here, good and bad, but only good, unique.
If there are questions, please, you can ask right away.
Unique. This indicates that he is still united and does not change because we feel the bad. Not even in the relations between him and his creations. For example, when a sick person comes to a physician to pull out a thorn, the physician who pulls it out hurts the patient. This is not considered that he has now changed and is doing harm. Rather, the physician and the patient who loved one another before are still loving, even during the painful cutting. This is called unique. Unified. This indicates that his attitude toward creation as a creator is only to disclose his uniqueness, for all the pleasantness, all the wisdom, and all the dvekut, adhesion, are expressed in this unification.
Questions? Okay, we'll continue. There's no questions.
Title, Material and Empirical Learning. Material learning is to know the approach of the whole of reality of people and their manners of existence and manners of their development from the first cause through their arrival in this world, both from above downward and from below upward. The main thing to know about them is the cause and consequence that applies to them, for this is the picture of every wisdom like nature's law and the law of life.
We can learn in the cascadence of below upward. We learn not on our own. We learn it from below upward. So as we go from below upward, we start to understand more how the whole of reality came from above downward. As we progress forward, we learn what has supposedly been behind us. Even though there's nothing behind us, there's no. It's just in our imagination.
Title, Practical Learning. It is the nature of those degrees that one who attains finds in them tremendous pleasure and delight when he attains them. This extends from one's coming into the will of the Upper One,
because we keep the Upper Will to discover the Upper, then the attainment of the Upper is comprised of this pleasant and delight.
Since the ways of his guidance over the existence of the world are by no more than two equal forces, where one who desires their work draws them by enjoying during the work, that pleasure compels them to it, and one who does not want them to work repels them through suffering, when a creature suffers during the work and therefore leaves it. This law is observed in full by animals and humans as it serves the purpose. For this reason, its guidance becomes complicated and must change every single moment. Sometimes the law is denied through the law of habit that becomes second nature for it.
The Creator did a very special exercise, very simple, I would say. It draws us to these pleasures and pushes us by the transgressions and guides us to where he wants us to go. And even though we change the reason for the good and bad to receive from the Creator is good, and then we want to get closer, and we want that getting farther from him will be felt as bad. The good and the bad are still, they're drawn, and we can differentiate between them, and we can check, and we can investigate all of our actions. Okay, let's continue.
Title, The Nature of the Degrees. The nature of the degrees to the attaining is as the nature of animals. That is, the law of reward and punishment is observed strictly and inexorably, and even habit will not change it.
As we get accustomed to these good things, or to the bad things, we still each time are influenced by the good thing and from the bad thing, and we cannot, according to our habits, change our impression. But our impression will be felt as new, because it comes in a new kli that we don't have in spirituality, and again we repeat the same recording. But every time it's new rishimot, new desires, and that's why our impression is always new. Let's continue.
Title, Two Parts to Material Studies. There are two parts to material studies. One, reality. Two, their existence, the quantity and quality of their sustenance, and how they are obtained. By whom and by what?
There's reality, and there's the existence and the connection between them. Then the attainer and the reality.
For this reason, there is a very bitter taste in the spaces between each two degrees. For those who attain them, loathe them vehemently. It is made and drawn upon them, so they will not remain there in the middle, as is the case with simple animals. However, sometimes the attaining turn back when they remember the great delight that is there.
Every time that we advance between the degrees, we feel ourselves as bad. And that bad has responsibilities. One of them is that it awakens us to hasten and get to the next state. Yes.
Title, Klipa, shell or peel, no turning back in spirituality. When they return, it is already a different degree, and it is called Klipa in relation to the initial degree.
Once when we go, it all is in regard to the direction, the vector. If we're directed to the purpose of creation, and every time we intend toward it, it feels pleasant and good and honorable. And when we go back, even though we're not going back to the bad states, because when I would go back to the previous state would be as attainment for me, advancing. And now when I'm going back, it's already, it all in regard to the intention. nor in the vector, that arrow of where I'm going. Okay? Good.
Title, Two Parts to Practical Learning. There are two parts to practical learning. The first is Kedusha, holiness. The second is Klipa. Sometimes, for some reason, sages too return to the place where there is the taste of a great delight in order to do something. However, they promptly leave there and resume their place. For this reason, the return is also called Kedusha.
Advancement is always Kedusha, and back is the Klipa, the shell. And it could be, I don't know, that they need to enter the Klipa for some purpose, or for others, or to do some action. Like a dove that is an emissary. That's the way it seems.
And yet, for the most part, only the frightened and those of weak desire return there, wishing to avoid passing through the path between the degrees, which they find bitter, so they remain stuck there because they cannot rise to their aspired height.
Creator, watch over us. Let's hope that we'll not be like that, right, Vlad?
Maybe in spirituality we're weak, we're afraid, but of what?
From these two words, I don't understand anything. Say a full sentence, where it comes from, and we'll...
But for the most part, only the frightened and those weak desire return there.
They go back to the previous state. The previous state that they'd get to, it would be like attainment, advancement. When you go back to it from a higher degree, then it's called a klipa. So he says that there's some who are afraid to advance more, and they prefer to go down to the previous state.
What does it mean that they're afraid of what?
There's probably all kinds of, there are in these permanent spiritual degrees. But I see many people also in our world who prefer to sit at home and watch football or soccer and drink beer. And it's good for them. What do they need to go to the evening lesson? It's 6 in the evening, you're sitting here after work. You didn't have enough with all of your patience that you had to say that everything will be okay. You're exerting all these efforts, telling everyone that it'll be okay, and at the end of the day, you're sure that nothing will be okay. And you come here, and you see that nothing's happening, and you go back to the previous state.
But how not to return?
Support of the society, of the environment. A person doesn't have strength for anything. But with an environment, of course, I'm certain to have this unending ascents. And even between the degrees, between each and every degree, there's a klipa. No, if he doesn't build for himself support from the environment, then he falls. And his fall, why does it happen? He's the one who got into it. He's the one who got into this descent, and from this fall, he needs to organize the environment and try again, successfully.
Meaning, if a person doesn't have a permanent ten, meaning no one to support him, then it's better
to sit at home with the beer and the soccer. There's no way. We got the practical Kabbalah.
One more title before that. The manner of work in the names. The manner of work in the names is extension of much pleasantness. At that time, one can draw that spirit also in one's friend, who is very inspired. By this, he can heal him or command him and force him to do his will.
I can't explain that. I can barely hear it.
2. Practical Kabbalah. The loss in every proliferation. We have explained above concerning practical learning that the Creator compels the creature through the light of pleasure in the work that dresses in it. What the Creator does not want, He prevents through the light of suffering that dresses in it. This is the meaning of the loss in every proliferation. The more possessions, the more worry, etc. Since there is a limit to every will of the Creator, as He desires many actions up the ladder of development. Were there no limit to every pleasure, the creature would become immersed in one activity his whole life and would not climb the degrees. Hence, Providence limits him by pains that result from any excessive pleasure.
If there was no upper providence and it came with the pains, then we wouldn't know how to advance. According to these feelings that accompany every step, and we know if we are advancing or not, in which direction, above reason or within reason, in order to bestow or in order to receive. By feeling, it promises to us that we will finally reach a state that will start to recognize our actions and the benefit of our actions. Let's continue.
Title: Beastly Repayment and Human Repayment. There is immediate pleasure in which there is no issue of hope, but is rather repaid immediately. Then there is a remote, anticipated pleasure, whose repayment is aspired for at a later date. The first is called sensual repayment, and the second is called intellectual one. The first applies to all living beings, and its conduct is certain and undisrupted. The latter is suitable only for the scrutinizing human, and the ways are disrupted. It is so because since its repayment is delayed, he becomes suitable for disruptions and preventions that confuse him in his work.
Again,
beastly repayment and human repayment. There is immediate pleasure in which there is no issue of hope, but is rather repaid immediately. Then there is a remote, anticipated pleasure, whose repayment is aspired for at a later date. The first is called sensual repayment, and the second is the intellectual one. The first applies to all living beings, and its conduct is certain and undisrupted. The latter is suitable only for the scrutinizing human, and the ways are disrupted. It is so because since its repayment is delayed, he becomes suitable for disruptions and preventions that confuse him in his work.
Is that clear? What's not clear?
What is repayment for a beast and for a man?
If I'm in the grasp of the beast, then I understand as a worker who looks at the end of the day what they have in their hand. Or even better, every moment that he does something for the owner pays him. Like a small child. You did something, here you go. You did another thing, here you go. More than this and that, and you keep getting paid according to each effort. Yep. So he comes and says that this is a beastly repayment. According to the will to receive, that I understand, the small mind, everything's clear, there's an owner that needs to pay me. What work do I want? I'll do the work and we're done. Do you remember? You don't remember. It was many years ago that they'd pay a person at the end of the day. That's the way it was. You finish the day, that's it. In the morning, you come to the market, all sorts of different business owners come there, and they say they need people like this, like that, and they take people and they go with them to work. At the end of the day, they pay them, and the person is released until tomorrow. That's the way it was. That's called repayment. What kind? Beastly repayment. Because the beast understands it. You don't need anything here. There's no more, no less. What's in the hand? Now, what does he say onward? Read it. Wait. You only read about the beastly repayment. The first one is called the central repayment, and the second is the intellectual one. The first applies to all living beings, and its conduct is certain and undisrupted, because he has it in his hand, and the latter is suitable only for the scrutinizing human, not the beast, but already for the human that has a mind, that understands and feels, that they can scrutinize. And the ways are disrupted. It is so because since its repayment is delayed, he becomes, that means that at some point, then he becomes suitable for disruptions and preventions that confuse him in his work. They say that you'll pay him in 20 years, like in the wisdom of Kabbalah. What do you need to do then? Who's it suitable for? For those who are as beasts, everyone's been made as beasts, but those who are ready for the human repayment. And was that human? And one who sees what's going to come ahead and is willing to work many years in order to be rewarded with that special payment. And then himself can't do it. He needs the support of the environment that'll support him, and so on. Okay? Beautiful. Who doesn't understand? Yes.
A person who receives his repayment for a longer term, but anyhow he knows he will receive what he is waiting for, what he anticipates.
Yes. That's why it's not spirituality yet. It's a dumb, but not a beast.
So that's what I want to say. In spirituality, there's no...
Did you see how they work in the circus? You always have to give them a sweet or something. They understand it. Other than that, nothing. A person, a human, can depict to himself some goal that's special, and that reward will be later. It won't be right now, it'll be years later in some special way.
What happens if someone does not see a reward in the future?
What does it mean they don't see?
He's not sure of it. If I work and I know I'll get my salary in a month,
yes,
but I can work in spirituality and maybe I won't get it.
No, we're not talking about spirituality yet. We're talking about beastly repayment and human repayment. No, we're not talking about spirituality yet.
That's what I'm asking about. What happens with this?
I don't know, he doesn't write.
How can you work without a reward?
I don't know, he doesn't write it. Can you hear me? He's talking about two forms. One where they pay a beast, it seems human, and the second, they pay to a human with a mind, with intellect, with sensations, that they understand that they have to wait for 20 years, they don't receive anything, and only after that they get something. But it's worthwhile. He can depict it to himself, this whole process, and this promised payment. There's many people who are willing to work 10 years, 20 years, in order to be great scientists, that he'll talk about them in high regard, that he'll give them a great headstone. Many people do this. I remember in Rehovot, who was it there that passed away? In Bnei Brak it already happened. That Rav Shach died. He passed away and everyone speaking in the hands of two people, two religious people, said, one said to the other, what do you think about the funeral? He said it was quite something. You need to work a lot to be able to have something like that. And they spoke seriously. That's the reward, that's the payment. If you want to be rewarded with such things, you need to... people will walk after you to the graveyard. About thousands of people will walk there for you. You have to work hard. Yes, yeah.
What other reward can be for a person? We're not talking about spirituality. This is a reward, no? To be appreciated and recognized.
The difference between the beastly repayment and the human repayment is at the time of payment. In place or in 10 years. There's no difference, no more than that. It's the development of the soul. Not yet spiritual. We'll continue. We'll see.
Page 192, title, The Power of Payment, A Casual Power, A Causal Power. Conscious repayment, sensual repayment. These are human repayment and beastly repayment, which are the two forces of providence by which animals do the tasks they are assigned by his providence.
This and that have to do with animals.
The standard of the sages. Indeed, there are many degrees in the human species itself, for it is measured by the sense of development of each one, and by the measure of one's retreat from the beastly world into the human world. When one is insufficiently developed, one cannot wait for the payment very long, and chooses works that with instantaneous reward, and even if for lower price. A more developed person might wait and choose works that pay better, even if the payment comes after a very long time. Know that this is the standard for the sages, for it depends on the material development of each one, and anyone who can prolong the repayment can get a bigger reward.
It's logical, right? There's nothing here. I want to be a professor, a Nobel Prize winner. I need to invest 30, 40 years, something like that. At least, if not more. These are things that depend on the development of a person. Nothing more than that. It's all corporeal, it's all very earthly, it's all in order to receive. But still, they're already more developed. The will to receive that's egoistic is more developed. And let's continue.
Title, What is Development? Therefore, you will see that the majority of the learned ones, as soon as they have completed their learning, and can enjoy the fruits of their work, abandon the study and go out to trade with the people and be rewarded. But the minority restrain themselves and continue to learn, each according to one's own talents. It is so because they want to receive a greater reward, such as to be among the greatest in the generation or be innovators. Naturally, after some time, their peers become very jealous of them.
Clear, right, Vlad? Well, it's not clear. It's all talking about people from our world. And if you can wait and continue to learn, you do all of this education, you can earn more, and you'll be more respected. You'll get more money and more respect compared to the people who didn't have the patience and they went to work immediately after, let's say, high school or after university, and what will they have from that? It's all according to the investment. How much a person is willing to wait for the payment, for this reward, for receiving this goal. Whoever has patience knows that I have to go to the greatest thing, even if I don't attain it, but I'll get close to it. I'm going for it. I can, from now on, I can from the beginning say that half is enough. No. No, no, I can't. It's really, I don't have this self-respect. I can't do it. I can't just decide to do it that way. I can't decide to stop in the middle of the way. I have to have the greatest goal, the best, and I want to be the best. I need to be ahead of everyone. I need to be above everyone. But now, okay, in a bit of time, 20 incarnations, it'll be 200 even. I'm going for it. Do you agree? Yes, okay. That's the way it is. Is that clear? You see? Everyone's like that.
Title, The Power of the Goal. Know that this is the standard for the development of the generations, meaning the power to restrain and prolong the time of repayment and choose the higher sum. For this reason, in those generations, great inventors proliferated, because in our generation, there are more with this kind of talent. Their exertion is immeasurable, because their sense of restraining is highly developed, both for prolonging the time and for exerting.
As much as it seems to him that we're not patient, no, we are willing to work and invest a lot of time and effort to attain what we want. Our ego is very big, and it builds in us this qualities.
Okay, let's continue. Returning power or causal power? There is no movement among all the animals that is not repaid. It is called the power of the goal, and the degrees are evaluated only according to the sensation of the reward, meaning by development. The more one is developed, the more one senses. Hence, the power of the goal acts in such a person to a greater extent and can significantly increase and enhance one's effort. The second one is the above stated, meaning the power of anticipation for the time of repayment. The causal power is evaluated by two. The first is the sense of the price. That sensation is the sum of the price, where one who is more sensitive is also more expensive, and the causal power is increased. The second is the power to wait for a later time, for even a higher price requires having a more developed body that can sense the remoteness. Also, any development that unfolds in the human species is only those two above-mentioned sensations, the sensation of price and the sensation of remoteness. And the measure of wisdom rises through them to its apex.
Yes, according to how precious it is, and as distant as it may be, it warns a person out more to get it. Let's continue.
Practical Kabbalah. Know that the governance of the above-mentioned sensations are sensed primarily in those who attain, since the pleasantness of each degree is so great and its reward is always near, so one has no reason to be in pain and climb to a higher degree.
Kabbalists have these calculations also in favor and against. And they're willing to stay in the smallest degrees because the calculation is a pleasure that they can give the Creator, not according to their kelim, but according to the result. Let's continue.
Title: The Spirit of Pleasure and Intellectual Pleasure. Moreover, there are spirit and wisdom here, and they are one. But in regard to a receiver who consists of body and mind, they are sensed as two forces. The body has a calm spirit, and the mind has a greater intellect. And the mind has great intellect. For this reason, the body must lose its spirit when it rises to receive knowledge and reason.
You wrote it as the headed chapters that you later want to expand to an article. But okay, continue.
3. The essence of mystery and its departments. Below, I wish to give the reader a clear understanding of the prohibition to use practical Kabbalah, as well as witchcraft, in various forms of prevalent esotericism, in order to provide a sound basis from which to extend scientific research. In our time, many scholars have delved over this issue, exerting to lay a scientific empirical basis under this matter. Indeed, they have given it much thought. To the best of my knowledge, they have not found any scientific basis that is worth consideration due to their lack of knowledge concerning the origin of this esotericism, which the human mind cannot reach. What has brought me to touch upon this topic is that I saw the ignorance of the masses as far as discerning such matters, causing them to mix together various forms of esotericism. Therefore, I have now come to show the origin and foundation of this type of esotericism.
Propel them forward was that no one understands what they're talking about in wisdom of Kabbalah, how the world is built, what's the purpose of it, how it is incarnated. And then he could be a guide for everyone.
I have already explained in part one here that there are three parts in the wisdom of the hidden, being material, figurative, and practical learning. In the third part, called practical learning, I explained how practical Kabbalists work not according to nature, since they have retreated to the initial degrees where there are plentiful pleasantness and sweetness. For this reason, their vital spirit significantly increases, such as you see among ordinary people whose strong willpower activates the ones whose desire is weaker, forcing them to act as they wish, and without any thinking or understanding or any benefit for themselves, they follow and obey their every wish.
It's clear to us that this is the way it is in the world.
Similarly, when one who has attained exerts to attain those degrees that yield great vitality and spirit, they can activate it in their friends to a certain extent as well. It is so because the nature of the spiritual is as the nature of the fish at sea, where the big swallows the small when it thinks of it. And here only thought acts, and the rest is indeed not thought, but desire and spirit, since a thought does not move even the thinker himself. So how will it move another? Instead, the desire receives and is depicted according to the image of that thought of the one with the bigger desire, and acts in the smaller one. Psychologists define it as power of thought, but it is a mistake because it is a desire and not a thought. Also, know that this active power is so mighty that it can induce imaginations in one's friend to the exact same extent that every person has the power to imagine in one's own mind. And with regard to dominion, it is much more powerful than the one who imagines in one's own mind. It is so because one who depicts by himself has the power of intellectual critique opposite the imagination. If it denies that imagination is weakened and cannot work at all. This is not so when one is activated by another. At that time, one is in a state of anarchy, without any work of one's machine called the brain. For this reason, there will never be any criticism, for the imagination he has obtained from the other works in him as though he had long ago agreed to it wholeheartedly, and above any criticism, as though it is a type of prejudice.
Yes, they're willing, able to receive from the friend's opinions, thoughts that are ready. My own thoughts and opinions can be exerting for it years and years until I get to it and feel it and organizing it for myself, a world, these relations. And I can have this hierarchy of relations, and someone from the side can come and give me such understanding, such qualities, and I'm impressed by them, and as if my own qualities I've been working on, that I've been working on for years and organized them this way, and immediately I acquire from. And this is a great force.
Moreover, one can clothe and suck the spirit of one's friend inside until he feels his feelings to an extent, and even his memories, and can contemplate them and determine which of them is desirable and notify him.
They can even enter, supposedly into the friend, and see his inclinations, where they come from, what he's thinking of, the way he understands this whole system. I acquire it, and I can place it inside me and start to work with it. You see what this connection is between people? What it can give?
This is why it is written that they deny the household of above. For although only the foul ones have come to them, they remain and use them permanently and intensify their vital spirit more than genuine sages.
Let's continue, let's finish.
Title: Three-thirds in the Concealment of the Wisdom. There are three-thirds in the Concealment of the Wisdom. The first is the unnecessary, the second is the impossible, and the third is the glory of God is to conceal a matter. I will clarify them one at a time. The first third, the unnecessary. This part has no loss in it at all, of course, except for the matter of cleanness of the mind, since we find that triviality is the most harmful saboteur. All the destructors in the world are triviality people, meaning contemplate trivial matters and announce trivial announcements. This is why we do not accept a disciple before he is sworn to remove himself from these saboteurs.
This is a problem in our day. If we could close our eyes and not see all of these things, all these nonsense is not the things that direct us to the goal. We'd be rewarded with time and strength. But sadly, we have to be included in the general public.
Second third, the impossible. This part, of course, requires no oath. However, because it is impossible to disclose it with erroneous words, and take pride in it in the eyes of the masses, it is included in the oath as well. Third, the glory of God is to conceal a matter. This part is the gravest in the concealment, for it has caused many casualties. Know that all the sorcerers and cunning ones that ever were come only from such disclosures, where immature disciples erred in the matters and went out of reach and went out to teach anyone they came across without considering if they were fit for it. They went out and used the wisdom for human purposes, for lust and honor, and they have taken the sanctities of the Creator to secularism and to the street. This is what is called practical Kabbalah.
What will I answer you? What will you ask?
There's a big part in the middle that begins in that talks about the connection between friends, where the big one swallows the small one and how the small one is included in him.
It's not friends exactly. What do you want to ask?
It seems to mean that it implies that I want to take from this how I can be included in the friend.
You only need to take the writings of Rabash. Not even from Bala Sulam. From Bala Sulam, you only take the principles, these higher principles. But all of the work is personal and the ten between the friends, it's only from Rabash.